Drake and Scott's RadioSlot.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, you probably aren't listening. No Scott today, no Ziggy. It's just your pal Brian Drake and the newest member of the crew. We call him Coach. Say hello, Coach.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, we're glad you are here as well. You've been hanging out with us for the last couple of months and listening to all the back and forth, so you're an expert at how the show runs now, right?
Yeah, I've been kind of the idiot in the background.
Okay.
It's been wonderful.
Well, we have a lot to talk about here because we were gone last week because Scott wasn't here. We had no arrangements for a best of or anything like that or a fresh recording. But we have some stuff going on with the election and other sorts of shenanigans. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we don't have enough to talk about. The question is, where do we start?
Yeah, I mean, come on. The world is pretty much shenanigans at this point.
Indeed. And today we find that, back during the disastrous debate between Biden and Trump, they got into a conversation about golf. Where Mr. Biden was talking about his 6 handicap, and Trump was like, "No, you're not." And they started going back and forth on golf. I would love to watch a Trump-Biden golf show where they just visit courses around the world and just crap-talk each other the whole time.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Well, today, and we might get our wish, because today Trump has challenged Mr. Biden to a golf match at one of his courses in Miami, and is like, "I'll give you 10 strokes, and we'll play $1 million for the charity of your choice."
Right. Make sure the ambulances are on hand.
Yeah, so that was fun to wake up to today. But speaking of Joe,
hey, are you going to do your crazy on the way?
Crazy on the way? Oh yeah, you know what?
Because I've got one.
You've got one.
I do.
All right. Well, let's put Joe on hold here. He'll wait. Plus, it'll give our awful internet time to decide if it's going to stay on or not. But yes, we see. This is what happens when you don't do this for when you skip a week, you forget everything.
Sure.
So yeah, we usually open with a crazy on the way things that have happened to us either on the way to recording today or something we've seen in the days prior. So go ahead and share yours.
Yeah, you know it's cool because I've been, like I said, the guy in the background listening to these podcasts and certainly am grateful and happy to be able to add my 3 cents. But so today I as my often do my morning ritual, I'm getting coffee at one of the most popular coffee spots, the one that you can drive through,
right?
And I go up there and I give them my order, and they said, "Oh, we're very sorry today, but we don't have coffee."
How does a coffee place not have coffee?
And I was like, "Excuse me? Well, yeah, our drip machine, we ran out of coffee. So I had to have my coffee drink made with, you know, a zillion shots of espresso. Because they have espresso, but okay, they don't have coffee."
That's far out.
At the coffee shop.
That's far out. Yeah, that's.
And I'm like, "Hold on a second. Seriously? You don't have coffee?"
So is it National Coffee Day or something where they've gotten more business than usual, so they've run out?
It's not the first time it's happened.
Oh, wow. Maybe you should find a different coffee place.
Well, by the way, it's not the one I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're supposed to name names.
Yeah, go ahead. It doesn't matter.
Phil's. Phil's is the one.
Okay.
but the Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Starbucks.
Yeah, they should.
How do you run out of coffee?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they should.
So this is espresso, a bunch of shots of espresso.
So you're pretty wired then, isn't
it? Yeah, no, I'm ready to go. Ready to go.
Well, what did I do wrong here? I have suddenly can't hear myself, and I don't know.
Because I hear you.
That's okay. That's what happened. I pressed a button, and we all went away.
Did you have coffee at Starbucks?
No, yeah, I didn't. I had a cup of tea, which I guess is pretty weak, so I'm not wired at all. I don't have any crazy on the way here. I've Yeah, you know, it's we took last week off. I did a lot of thinking about what we're doing with this podcast and how we can grow it, or if we even want to, or maybe we just want to keep it between us so it's what we do for spits and giggles. We had a very relaxing 4th of July, and yeah, I've got nothing.
Yeah, it was, you know what? We hung out in the cigar bar for a little while. That was good.
We did that, yeah.
I got to meet Alex.
Yeah, Alex, the solar guy. In fact, yeah. You made a deal with him.
To come back to the program?
Well, yeah, and he seems to be pretty excited about returning, so he and I will have further discussions on that.
Sure, sure,
But yeah, it's been a good couple weeks, and I have nothing to complain about. So I'm going to find something here on our topic list to complain about, and that should balance the scales.
I do want to do another shameless plug for Alex the Solar Guy, though. But so we are actually probably moving forward with that deal, and I'm going to have him work on my house.
Right on. Yeah. So that's Alex Garnfeld, and I'm pulling up his ad here if it will ever load, but he is the... He is the solar company fellow sponsor that used to read ads for him. I forget the name of his company, which is why I'm not even going to attempt it because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But yeah, very very sharp chap, and I'll get his phone number up here in a minute. But that was a pretty good conversation you two had. I pointed him out to you, and you're like, "Oh, that's the guy."
Like, I've been meaning to talk to the solar guy.
Yeah, he's the partner dealer from Solar Energy Partners. You can call him today if you want to. Make your own deal, 925-791-1776. Electricity costs keep going up, and you should get solar to pay less. Because even you were saying, you're with what you're paying now, with what you're going to pay him to what you're paying PG&E, it's going to be significantly less, right?
Well, he's got different options. He's got, you know, zero out of pocket. He's got pay for it up front, all that good stuff.
Right.
But either way, in any way that I do that, I'm paying way less.
Right.
And quite honestly, I'd much rather give it to him than I would to PG&E.
So. Right on.
And well, and another plug, I drive a Tesla. So
it will help charge the car? Is that?
Well, I drive for free.
Yeah. Okay, right
when
on.
When you're at that gas pump and
that's right.
You know, you're paying $7 a gallon or whatever it is now.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even know what gas costs. Yeah. I love that. I love that. What does gas cost?
Let's see. I think I paid $5.97 yesterday because I had to go to San Francisco.
So $6.
Yeah.
Do your listeners know what you drive?
It's an obnoxious sports car, and it eats a lot of gas.
Yeah. So. Just guzzles it down, doesn't it?
But I love it. It's got a 7-speed transmission, and
yeah,
and we have a good time with it. So
when I get my Cybertruck, we can race.
Okay. Those Teslas are pretty quick. I'm leery of taking them on.
There you go.
So there's your free plug, Alex, and hopefully we can make a deal to bring you back into the fold, too. So let's get back to President Potato. He says a lot of odd things.
You say potato, yeah. I say potato.
Yeah. You know, he says a lot of odd things, and recently at a speech or in an interview, he says he was proud to be the first black woman to serve with a black president. Doug, does this mean that Joe Biden is literally a mad black woman and keeps a diary?
Could be. You know what? Stranger things have happened in these worlds.
So when we finally open up the inevitable Joe Biden presidential library, will we be able to read the diary?
Diary of a...
mad black woman, yeah. And most importantly, will we be able to turn to the page where he describes the night where his husband went out for cigarettes and didn't come back?
You know, I don't think I'd blink. You know, years gone by, when they look back at these times, I wonder what the archives will read.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost too strange to believe that I'm living through it.
I understand. And especially when he says stuff like where he needs to get more sleep and stop holding events after 8 p.m. You know,
hold on a second. Nuclear war. I got to get my rest.
Yeah. What happens when we have a crisis and you got to stay up all night? And yes, the government is not just one person. There are other people involved, but it's like you don't want the other people making the critical decisions. You want it to come down to that one guy that is sharp enough to say yay or nay.
No, I'm sorry. He's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. We
don't wake him up.
We can't decide to return fire or not until he wakes up at noon. You know.
So hold the war.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Start the war during the day. Yeah. Start the war during the day. Don't. Yeah. Don't send the nukes. Don't invade Taiwan. Everything has to happen before 8 o'clock.
It's funny. In years gone back, I was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and I hate everybody. I'm an equal opportunity hater at this point.
You have to be.
It's silliness. I think the whole thing is, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I understand, but I am confident enough in our system and in our, I know a lot of people aren't, but in our population to make the right call here. But
okay.
I know.
No, please. Devil's advocate.
Yeah, come at me. Yeah, because
so
I know.
You just said you're confident in the public's. So I have my associate pastor at church, and him and I, this is, I don't know, a year and a half ago. He's like, you watch. Biden will be on the ballot in 2024. Mm-hmm. I was like, there is no possible way, knowing what we know now, this is a year and a half ago, that we as a people would put him back on the ballot. And I mean, you know, I talk to intelligent people every day that are like, oh no, he's the option. And they, you know, the lesser of two evils and all of this good stuff. But it's like, that conversation has to stop immediately.
Right.
It's like, in my opinion, this is elder abuse.
It is. And the reason why those intelligent people thought the way they did is because everything that we know now has been covered up. So there was really no reason for them to believe otherwise. And now that we know, if he stays on the ballot, I'd be surprised. If he's taken off, I'll be surprised. I really can't predict what's going to happen.
They're going to push somebody else forward. They have to.
They might. Yeah. I mean, there's enough call for it, and it's not stopping. The interview with Stephanopoulos didn't help him. He continues to not help himself when he's
talking. I dialed 911 twice in that.
The debate?
Yeah.
Were you trying to report a murder? Or?
No, I thought he had a stroke, and I wanted to make sure they were there.
Okay.
It's like, come on. This guy's going down. He's frozen.
Yeah, I know. That was hard to I spent less time. I don't know anything that Trump said. I mean, you've described to me that he didn't do well and all that, and I believe you. But I was so busy focused on Biden, I really didn't pay attention to anything that Trump said. And it shocked even me, and I'm aware of the issues. It is far worse than I thought it was.
He was absolutely not there. He had to be helped off the stage.
And
But, you know, I thought it would probably have been a great opportunity for Trump to just let that play out.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest problem still is, and it didn't used to be this way, not very long ago, where when you were asked a question about what are you going to do about this climate, the trillions of dollars of debt, all this, that you had to answer something. Now, politics are always going to worm their way around hotbed items and things they don't want to talk about. But there was literally not one question that was answered. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Yeah.
By either side.
Right.
What are you going to do about this? Well, here's what I did in your previous tenure, and then throwing rocks at the other guy. Here's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You screwed it all up. And they both said the same thing about each other. You know, I travel the world quite a bit. And I got people in other countries that are family, and they're, you know, we're talking and texting, and they're just like, dude, what are you people doing? You know, not that they're any better because, it's rampant, but good Lord.
It's been an experience the last couple of weeks, but
this is going to be a wild couple of months.
Yeah, and I remain optimistic. I know it doesn't make sense, but I do, and it's. I hope it pays off.
You know, Trump needs a dog collar, and he needs somebody with their little hand on the button. And when he says something dumb, that they just give him a little.
That would be a good idea.
It's,
and hopefully, whoever he picks as vice president, and we'll be able to do that. Hopefully, somebody younger that can take over eventually, but there's.
I still believe the only way forward is to have a third party, a viable third party.
You're not the only one to say that,
But I don't know. I don't know if we can get there.
I don't know how it would work either. I mean, we do have other options. None of them are very good or very...
they're just not viable. They have no chance of winning.
Yeah, and
if you have a third party, it's not us or them. It's you're with us or you're one of them.
Right.
And that means I hate you no matter what because I have to... No,
yeah,
I have to toe the company line, mm-hmm. and that means I hate you.
Yeah, yeah, you're not
and
wrong.
And you hate me, and there's no third option.
Right.
And, yeah.
It would be nice if there was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't work. It seems to work okay in the UK and Europe, and, you know, I mean, someone always gets a majority, and then, you know, so it's not... It's not that you can't do it. It's just that we don't do it.
Yeah.
And
you said you had confidence in the system. I think the system is broken.
It's broken, but I have confidence that we can. Keep it going.
I love that. Yeah.
And just.
I love that.
I know. It's just
good for you.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got a bunch of grandkids and kids, and you know, I need to hang out with you more.
Okay. Well, we are running late. We got to take a break. Back after this. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. No Scott, no Ziggy today. It's me and Coach, and we're just talking about our stuff. I'm trying to figure out a way to transition into this next topic because, you know, under Biden, inflation has gone up, right? Things cost more than they used to.
Certainly.
Yeah. You know what else is costing a lot more than it used to?
What's that?
Tampons. If you think women are mad now, but no, you're going to need a mortgage to keep Aunt Flo away. Let's go into this one. Prices on these products are up about 10%. And this is according to Bloomberg. Costs are soaring, such as the plastics, the fluff pulp, and cotton, so leading to serious price hikes.
Hold on a second. And we're blaming this on Joe.
We're going to blame it on Joe.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
Because, you know, there was a recent poll that said 73% of college-educated females are going to vote for Joe Biden. And I'm like, you know, you don't really feel the problems of the country until they hit you in the pocketbook, or in this case, the bonus hole. So maybe maybe that 73% will start dropping as women come to their senses, if there is such a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I like it. Okay. Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
We blame you.
Unfortunately, I should have checked this article. It's from Bloomberg, and it's subscribers only. So I can only give you what I gave you. But, yeah, things are up there about 10%. And, you know, if you think women do have a lot to protest and a lot of things to be unhappy about, do they really need something else added to the list? Let's see, what do we have next? Oh, you know, there was one story we didn't get to when Scott was here last time. But, you know, you talked about your Tesla.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, not Tesla specifically. This is actually Elon's Starlink program. Or, not a program, but it's an internet connection, right?
Yeah.
Or is it satellite internet? Do you know how it works?
I don't.
Okay. But it does bring internet to places around the world that don't normally have it. And we have a story about a native Amazon tribe who has Starlink now, and they're doing nothing with it except looking at social media and pornography.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's as a speech is dragged on, eyes drifted to screens, teenagers scrolled Instagram, one texted his girlfriend. And in any other place, this would be mundane, but this is happening in a remote indigenous village and one of the most isolated stretches of the planet, the Marubo people. They live at the Itui River deep in the Amazon rainforest. They speak their own language. They have their own culture. And now, thanks to...
How are they accessing the internet? Did we give them bunch of handheld supercomputers?
I guess. Yeah,
or a bunch of iPads, and
apparently
in their own language.
Apparently, okay. Yeah. They're, you know, but yeah, the tribe is hooked on boobs, and that's just the women. So, is the internet a good thing?
Ooh.
And should we have it as widespread as we do? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if there were some places you can go where you were just unplugged? You had no access to anything.
I think you had
to do it the old-fashioned way.
I think that's terribly important. How it's funny because I have children and I have grandchildren, and you know, I mean, I was one of the guys. You know, we had a basket, right? Dinner time,
right?
Yeah, you didn't have your nose in your supercomputer,
right?
No way. So I, you know, while I think it's pretty interesting having access to everything all the time, I think it can be a really bad thing having access to everything all the time. And, you know, we talk about social media and the fact that you have real-time information, people, you know, knee-jerk reaction. You don't have that, you know, 24-hour rule thing where you have time to cool off or whatever. So it's just chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's a...
It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing.
It's just a thing.
It's okay. What we do with it.
Yeah. Well, here's one of the members of the tribe, a lady whose name I cannot pronounce, but she's 73 years old. She says, when it arrived, everyone was happy, but now things have gotten worse. Lately, the youth have become less interested in making, you know, doing things around the tribe, you know, helping out with the work.
Making grass huts.
Yeah. And she says, young people have gotten lazy because of the internet, and here's the best quote, they're learning the ways of the white people.
Oh, God.
But then she says, please don't take our internet away. So it's like it's doing all these bad things or causing all these bad things, yet we love it and we don't want to get rid of it. Now, how is that not how does she not sound like a junkie? That, you know, I know heroin's bad, but don't take it away.
That's actually kind of the standard what a junkie acts like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Although I do want to hear you try and pronounce her name.
Oh, good. Okay.
Come on. You got it.
Okay, it starts with a T. I'm going to assume the T is silent, but then I'll go with Seinama Marubo.
There you go. Look at that.
Okay, very good.
Boom. Outstanding.
Yeah, they've had Starlink for 9 months, and yeah, teenagers glued to phones, group chats full of gossip, addictive social networks, online strangers, violent video games, and minors watching pornography. So it's like,
how long of a period of time did they have it?
That 9 months. So in 9 months they've gone from their traditional way of living to
that's a little bit scary.
Yeah, to decadence.
Cultural change in that short of a time.
Yeah, that's so all thanks to Elon Starlink.
And once again, it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a thing, and I think we abuse things.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I've got to shave off a minute from this segment because we went over last time, but let's hit this before.
I'm actually really curious about this service robot.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about next. Yeah, so we have this happened in Korea where a civil service robot, quote, committed suicide. Witnesses saw the robot erratically circling before its fall, sparking speculation about the cause. This is from Interest in Engineering. A first-of-its-kind incident has shocked the world after a civil servant robot at Gumi City Council in South Korea was found unresponsive after what appears to be a deliberate plunge down a 2-meter staircase. Local media users have called it the first robot suicide. The robot, affectionately known as Robot Supervisor, has been a model employee since its appointment in August of 2023. The official report says the robot worked diligently, handling daily document deliveries, city promotion, and information dissemination to local residents. Witnesses reported seeing the robot circling in one spot as if something was there shortly before the incident, sparking speculation about the cause of the fall. How do you know? Really, but, you know, in the robot's defense, he was upset that he couldn't dance to Gangnam Style.
Oh. Well, but are you sure he couldn't? I don't know.
And I pulled a muscle reaching for that joke because I don't even know if anybody knows what Gangnam Style is anymore.
Seriously?
That was
are you that old?
I am that old.
Am I that old? Yeah.
Yeah, let's see if I can find it on the YouTube here, the YouTube machine. Oh, there's way too many options. Where is it? There he is.
Yeah, Let's go.
Yeah. So this, do you remember when this was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was everywhere.
He had a little more than 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, so he exploded in the United States with this song and then opened his mouth and criticized us and then,
you're done. So,
don't bite the hand that feeds you. But anyway, yeah, we got robots killing themselves in South Korea, and I suppose if you had to live there, you'd be depressed too. Or maybe that's too harsh. I don't know. South Korea sounds pretty cool.
I was going to say, it's not North Korea. No, South Korea.
Still. Yeah. If you're not living in the United States, are you really living at all?
Oh, dang. Right. I got a lot of buddies that would argue that. But I kind of agree.
All right. Back after this. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. No Scott today. It's Drake and Coach.
Hey, hey.
And we got to come up with a story of how we found you, because Scott and Ziggy have interesting backstories. So we'll have to, next week when everybody's back,
Interesting backstory.
I mean a silly one. So.
Oh, I've got a really silly, interesting backstory.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we meet up next Monday, and we can use that, or we can use the one I'll come up with, or we can rotate them, or whatever you want to do. So there's some fear porn going on in regards to Joe Biden, and this goes back. Excuse me. This goes back to the debate where China is noticing that we have a dazed and confused president, and some people are concerned that Xi Jinping will see a limited window of opportunity to invade Taiwan. What do you think?
Really? What do you think?
Yeah. Because.
You have windows of opportunity. This certainly looks like one.
But it's like we hear about China and Taiwan so much it's been decades. It's like China's always been on the verge of invading Taiwan. It's like when it's a slow news day, everybody talks about China invading Taiwan, and nothing ever happens. So I don't know. I see this, and it's like, whatever. They're not going to do anything because they know in a couple months there's going to be a change. And
him and Vlad are buddies. They're hanging out.
They are.
I'm sure he's emboldened by the whole situation in Russia.
And who couldn't be emboldened with what we have here? But I mean, if we had another 2 years of Mr. Biden in his current state, I would understand there might be bad actors.
What you're saying? They're going to wait and see.
They're going. I think there's not enough time.
Yeah, and if he wins, then they'll proceed.
Probably. Yeah. Why not? Let's go there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't argue that.
The Chinese are like, no, we're not doing nothing. China adheres to the principle of non-interference in other countries' internal affairs. How many jokes in that one line?
Yeah.
And they do not comment on issues related to the U.S. presidential election.
Yeah, right.
Quote, at the same time, we oppose the U.S. frequently making an issue of China in the election. So it's like, stop talking about us.
Yeah. Stop listening to us. Shh.
The Chinese propaganda machine went into high gear, tarring everything about the debate, but the most consequential criticism was voiced by America's friends and partners, especially in Europe, yada, yada, yada. So, when you need to scare the population, just drag out the whole Taiwan invasion.
I don't know. I wanted to hear your joke about it, though. I kind of like that.
Oh, goodness gracious. How could I forget my joke?
I'm telling you. You're slipping, dude.
I am slipping, and let's blame the heat. It's going to be 106 today.
Is it?
So I hear.
Great to have a pool.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's open. You're welcome to come over, man.
I was going
to
say, I'm going to crash your place.
Yeah.
But if China does invade Taiwan, they're not going to use the military. They're going to use Mormon missionaries.
Oh, are they?
Because,
do tell.
Because Mormons never hurt anybody. I don't know. That joke sounded better in my head. I think that deserves a...
Why are you gay?
There
Why?
You go. Yeah, have you heard? We have the other sound clips now from that interview. It's
everyone.
Oops, that's not the one.
My grandpa.
No, not that either. I gotta.
So who is gay?
I gotta put a label on these.
You do.
Why should someone be gay? Doesn't that make you gay? Do you perform the natural obligations?
Yeah, my Nigerian buddy got a huge kick out of that. So I had a Nigerian coach living with me for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he got a big kick out of
it. Oh, right on. Yeah, you know, I wanted to take advantage of those through last month, you know, quote, Pride Month.
Sure.
But it was, did you notice it was very muted? We didn't have the usual displays. And
the least rainbowy. Rainbow month I've seen in many years.
Yeah, no, I agree. It it's almost as if
it's played out.
Exactly.
I like it.
So
hey, you know what? I don't fault anybody for being who they are, but you know, mm-hmm.
we don't
gotta have a month for it. We don't gotta wave a flag, we don't gotta have a holiday.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Indianapolis for...
I want a coach holiday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, you just want an omelet named after you. At the place in town.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's probably never to be.
All right. Well, an Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department safety officer is giving a puppy a second chance at life after she was left to suffer inside a hot vehicle last week. So the police responded to a report of a dog in a vehicle in a parking lot of a hotel. When they arrived, they found two dogs and a cat inside the car, 90 degrees, no air conditioning, windows barely cracked. One of the dogs did die, but the other dog and the cat were rescued. Court documents say the hotel manager told police he became aware of the dogs in the car when Abby, the one that survived, started honking the horn. The hotel manager said he did not see anybody inside the vehicle, and the car was turned off, so he called the non-emergency line for animal control. After the incident, police reached out to find out who could adopt Abby just a few days later. She was adopted and has a new home now, and it's a pretty smart dog.
Yeah, I see that you're talking about pushing him forward.
Maybe the dog should run for president.
Yeah, you're...
And
if Biden drops out, you want to nominate him.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
And the cat can be the vice president.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about someone who will kind of give you a whap if you step out of line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
I love the next part.
Yeah.
You got to do that for Scott with three T's.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think Scott would like to leave his dog in a hot car every now and then. But, you know, I got to see the dog Zeus, Scott's dog, on Sunday. And he, so Ziggy and I were, Ziggy was house-sitting for Scott, who was out doing things.
He didn't chew on your leg?
No, he didn't. What he did was something even more...
Frightening?
Confusing.
Okay.
So Ziggy and I go out back to smoke cigars while my wife and his wife were inside the house talking. And so Ziggy and I, you know, we're drinking beer, we're smoking cigars, we're having a good time. And Zeus, every time we would blow smoke out, he would try and catch the smoke. He would, you know, try to bite the smoke out of the air and lick it. And
as long as he's not biting you.
No, exactly.
Because he's got priors.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's very well behaved. But every time we would blow smoke in his face, he would try and eat it out of the air. It was just the, I wished I had gotten it on video. I'd had a couple of beers, so I was like, that's why my wife was driving, and it was, I mean, it can't be good for him, but he's an older dog, so probably can't hurt either. And
oh, yeah, he'll live or he won't.
Yeah.
But that was for you, Scott.
Yeah. But I don't see what Scott complains about. That's a very well-behaved dog.
Do you know how many people that dog has bitten?
I know of one person, yeah.
Several.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, he's got priors.
Okay.
It's a bad situation.
Well, you didn't want to... Let's see. There's one story you didn't want to talk about, and... Oh, yeah, let's go back to internet ruining teenage brains.
Ooh.
Because, and this
that's
is...
kind of near and dear to me.
Yeah. And of course...
Because I have a teenage brain.
So do I. And of course, now I can't call up the story, but anyway, yeah, it's saying that something about... Oh, this is unfortunate because it was a good story.
I meant to tell you that. When I tried to bring it up, it goes, this isn't available anymore.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's unfortunate. But yeah, internet's bad, and or whatever we said before. But let's, we still got a few minutes. I want to talk about Trump's golf plan or his golf bet with, we got an update, actually. Biden has already... Biden responds to Trump's proposal for another debate next week in a round of golf with four challenges of his own. So what is he? So Trump issued his ultimatum to the his election rival at the golf course in Florida. Quote, "I'm officially challenging Crooked Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. This is one of the greatest tournament golf courses anywhere in the world. It will be among the most watched sporting events in history."
It really would, by the way. Yeah. I'd watch.
Yeah, Biden put out an immediate response, refusing to take up the challenge.
Oh, come on, Joe. Come on, Joe.
But he
did. What did he cite? Why?
Well, no, but he does say this is what we would. He issued some challenges of his own. "We challenged Donald Trump to stand up to Putin, but he bent the knee to him. We challenged Donald Trump to follow the law, but he breaks it. Oh, goodness. We challenged Trump to not destroy our country, but that's all of his Project 2025 aims to do." Do the Democrats not have a sense of humor?
I am so sick of politics. It's so bad. Oh, there's an opportunity. Let's get our plug in there.
Let's get our digs in, yeah.
Yep. That's just awful. What are you going to do? But,
well, you know, it really would be one of the best or most watched sporting events.
Are you kidding? I mean, do you know the amount of money you can make on that event?
Oh, yeah. And mic them up so they can.
And do you know how many advertisers would just stumble over themselves to be first in line on that?
Absolutely.
It's like, I mean, everybody would watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's where we've gotten to in politics.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
But it would almost be. I mean, it would almost be too entertaining.
Oh, no.
You'd
have to, there'd be a drinking games. It would be great.
Yeah, but you'd be plastered before the second hole.
Come on. It just, every time Joe goes to sleep, you got to have a shot, right?
Yeah. Did you see the video? It was Trump playing golf. He was in a golf cart, and someone had a concealed camera, and they were asking him, "What do you think of Kamala and this, that, and the other?"
No,
and,
okay. I didn't see this.
He had some. It was Trump being very candid about and him saying,
"Ooh, that's Friday."
Yeah, and him saying that he thinks Biden is going to be out, and that we're going to have Kamala, and she's so terrible, she's pathetic, and yada yada yada. And then he hands the guy a couple of bucks for a tip, and it was
this guy that just recorded him
secretly recorded him and then leaked it, and it was not a video that hurt Trump. It was one that kind of helped, because you know there he was just being himself. And,
yeah.
Not bombastic. He was very had a much lower tone to his voice than usual.
I think in the norm he probably is. I think a lot of that he does for show.
Sure.
Which I don't care for.
Yeah, there's a little too much show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you the story. I was talking to one of my liberal friends and back when he was president, and he's, "Do you know he's building the wall?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh my God. You mean he's actually doing what he said he was going to do?"
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I knew he was going to build up cuz he's been campaigning on that for a couple of years now."
Yeah. Yeah, that was his whole one of his major political promises, I guess. Yeah.
And lo and behold.
Yeah, and then they stop. I mean, how much of the wall got built, do you know?
I mean, a good portion.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not finished, but I mean, you know, yeah, that'll be a segment for another show, but the border, it's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, I go down there a couple times a year and it's a mess.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine that goes down frequently to set up cameras and just kind of spy on things. And he showed me video of cartel crews just walking across somewhere in Arizona. They just walk across. They meet a contact at a highway, some deserted, you know, low-traveled highway, hand over the drugs. The courier takes off. They go back the other way, and there's nothing there to stop them.
It's a mess.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost.
I mean, it's going to happen either way. Mm-hmm. I mean, tunnels and all, you know, they're creative.
Right.
But we just got to stop making it easy. And we have.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice if some, you know, enterprising civilians and their high-powered rifles were to set up and just, you know, pick them off.
Are you, are you pulling a...
Yeah.
Yikes.
You start whacking cartel guys as they come across the border. Yeah. They're going to stop coming across the border. So it, you know.
Or shoot back or both.
They could, but they have to see what they're shooting at first. If you're well concealed and say you're 1,000 yards out, I mean, I could make a shot like that with the proper rifle, you know.
I can with the rifles I have.
Exactly. Yeah, you can take them all out and
yeah, I don't know.
And, you know, maybe that will solve the problem because the military certainly isn't going to do it. The Border Patrol, I don't know what they're doing, but what they're not allowed to do. But that's taking us into areas we probably shouldn't go.
Yes.
All right. Up on a break.
And they're recording this.
That's true. Well, right. But don't worry, nobody. We have two listeners. It's all right. We'll be back right after this. Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. No Scott, no Ziggy. It's Drake and Coach today, and we're going to start our... We're going to keep up the traditional post-game wrap-up, but this time it'll be from Coach. Now, you said you had, during the break, you had Scott's third tee today.
I do.
What does the third tee stand for today?
Scott's third tee today is travesty.
Okay.
Our current situation with the whole presidential election is a travesty, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is the best we can put forward. This is the best we can do. Wouldn't it be interesting if all the good people of the country got together and said, we're all going to vote for the dog in the car. and we're not going to vote for either one of these ding-dongs.
Yeah, it would be something.
And then what? I wonder what would happen. So,
well, that's when the Supreme Court would get involved and count the chads and tell everybody how wrong they were.
But Scott's third tee is brought to you today by travesty.
Very good.
Another little thing that I'd like to do from time to time when I got the pleasure of being here is Coach's Corner.
Okay, give us a demonstration of that.
A good coach can help change a game.
Mm-hmm.
A great coach can help change lives.
Ah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I coach a lot of youth and I coach adults as well. But one of the things I try and live by, winning is not always winning. Sometimes it has to do with things that matter. Character.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
You don't agree with that.
It's not that I don't agree. It's that I know you're right, but I also like to win. So it's like I want to learn and build character, and I want to kick the other team's keister.
Winning is not a bad thing, but it's not the only thing.
Uh-huh.
And winning doesn't always mean winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to take that.
We will get more into this as we go. Not today.
Okay. Yeah, because we don't have a lot of time. But what's an example of winning without winning?
If I'm a coach and I'm coaching a team and they're learning to play a specific game, whatever game that may or may not be, and we're working on something specific, maybe it's not goal scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're working on possessing the ball. Maybe we're working on this or that. And we do that very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's winning.
I see.
They're in a journey to learn something.
Okay, so
and I'm teaching it.
It's achieving a goal that may not be the high score. It may be anything else.
A different aim other than winning.
Okay.
Now, I have a U19 team right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're done. They're at the end of their youth career.
Right.
All we talk about in this year, their very last year of soccer, is winning.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take all the things that you've learned for these 10 years, and this is the final test. You put it together. Did you learn? Can you win?
I see.
That's all it's about now.
Yeah.
But in the previous years, it's about developing and learning. And while you're doing that, hopefully you're developing humans more than you're developing soccer players.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, or what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to make them navigate this stupid, crazy world that we live in make it a little bit simpler, easier, bring back some old values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I require my players to shake my hand and look me in the eye.
Very good.
I don't let go of their hand until they look me in the eye.
Very good.
And some of them, they freak out. It's like, let go of my hand. It's like, look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Right.
Good morning.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Well, I look forward to more Coach's Corner. So thanks for coming on board here. This was a good show.
Yeah, a pleasure.
We'll have,
really enjoyed it.
We'll have the other two knuckleheads back here, hopefully next Monday. Do you want to tell Mary to throw her hat in the air?
Do it. Throw your hat.
Why are you gay?
Walked into that one.
We'll see you next time.
Meow.